My name is John. I'm a compulsive overeater and a sugar addict, calling in from Honolulu, Hawaii, this evening, and grateful to be with you all. I appreciate Matt asking me to speak this evening, as being of service always helps my own recovery. So I will tell you that I come from a dysfunctional home life, a broken, abusive, alcoholic home life. Like many of us who are in these rooms have suffered through. And I come from a long line of very committed sugar addicts and compulsive overeaters and alcoholics and all the rest of that. So growing up, I did find myself drawn to sugar, but I did not necessarily have a weight problem early on in my life. I was very active, involved with sports, and just maintained a pretty fit, thin profile until I hit the age of 30. And after the age of 30, I began gaining weight. And for the next 18 years, I was compulsively overeating and unwittingly addicted to sugar, and got up to about 65 pounds heavier than I am today. So I was up to getting close to 265, even maybe 270. This, for those of you who can see this, this is what I used to look like before I came into the rooms. And I will sort of fast forward. My sponsor tells me that I'm supposed to bring my problems to my sponsor, and I'm supposed to bring solutions to the meetings. So rather than fixate on the dysfunction and the problem, which, as you could see from the photo, I got into trouble with obesity, I'm going to focus instead on the solution and what happened in 2013 when I came into the rooms. I was able to hang out with you guys from July 16th, which was my very first meeting. I was nervous. I was not sure that OA was a place that I belonged. I was expecting to see a lot of heavy people in the room when I arrived that evening. And lo and behold, there were a lot of very fit and thin people. There were a few heavy people as well, but I was told to go to six plus meetings to see if OA might be right for me. And I kept coming back, as was encouraged, and found myself identifying as a compulsive overeater and as a sugar addict. And so, yeah, I kept going. I found a home meeting that had a good amount of men in the room as well as women. This was in Southern California at the time, and got myself a sponsor, a guy who kept asking if he could be my sponsor. And I kept sort of putting him off for a few weeks. And he kept sort of offering his services. And eventually, on September 5th of 2013, I asked that he would work with me. At that time, he said, "Before I start working with you, John, I have the two most important questions. Are you willing to go to any lengths? Are you willing to do whatever it takes?" And I had to think about that. I gave him an answer in the affirmative. And we proceeded from there. He gave me, he told me I needed a scale. I said, "Well, I know I'm heavy, Roger. I've weighed myself before." He said, "No, not a body scale, a food scale." I said, "Oh, what's that?" I had no idea. I had weighed myself a lot before coming into the program, imagining that if I weighed myself enough, I might actually lose weight. It had never dawned on me to weigh the food that I put in my body, which is something that I started doing when I came into the rooms, and that I continue to this day, which has been very helpful to me. So the weight of my body at any given moment, the weight of the food I put in my body, the blood work numbers that come back from my general practitioner, these sorts of things are what I call touchstones of reality. So sometimes I can talk a good game in OA, but these numbers, these hard and fast things that are observable and measurable, help me to know whether I'm really putting my money where my mouth is, so to speak. So I found that helpful. He also gave me a plan of eating. He asked me, what I had been eating and what my habits were. He talked about not only the right types of foods to eat, but also certain food behaviors. So Basically, he put me on a plan that includes lean proteins, fresh vegetables, low sugar fruits, healthy fats, including seeds and nuts, and whole grains. And so he said those will be your five main food groups that you'll eat from. And so that's sort of what I started on. And we've made some gentle adjustments over the years, but as I've gotten older, I'll be 62 this year, but and I need a little bit less food than maybe I did in the past. And to be honest with you, I'm still working towards a healthy body weight. For me, a healthy body weight would be probably 11 or 12 pounds below what I currently weigh, according to the medical doctors that I work with. So I'm still chipping away at that, and God's not through with me yet, which I'm grateful for. So before I worked on the steps, and I did complete all 12 steps, and I used the tools as most of us do. My sponsor wanted me to work on step zero. I said, "Step zero, what's that? I've never heard of step zero." He said, "Well, step zero is why you're actually here. You know, what's your motivation? You've got to keep your step zero in mind before you move on to the steps. Otherwise, you might fall off onto the wayside." And so I appreciated his comments in that regard. And so I thought about what my step zero would be, and I consulted the New England Journal of Medicine and the Harvard Medical Review to find out what the logical consequences of compulsive overeating leading to obesity are. And that really became my step zero, and I'll share it with you now. It's my reality check. According to medical science, the long-term consequence of compulsive overeating leading to obesity is an early death. This is brought on by high cholesterol, high triglycerides, high blood sugar, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, metabolic syndrome, heart disease, stroke, heart attack, heart failure, cancer, sleep apnea, gallbladder disease, pancreatic problems, and non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Obesity causes premature aging, increased surgical risks, joint, tendon, and back problems, social stigma, low self-esteem, anger, depression, anxiety, mood swings, sexual dysfunction, social isolation, discrimination, relationship problems, gout, skin conditions, distorted body image, and in women, pregnancy problems. So when the detrimental effects of obesity are properly understood, a serious need for a solution becomes obvious. Everyone understands having an allergy to peanuts or seafood can be deadly, but many people don't recognize the serious nature of compulsive overeating leading to obesity. It's just as deadly, but devoid of an immediate anaphylactic reaction, the effects are far less dramatic. And because overeating anesthetizes against rational thinking and authentic feeling, overeaters themselves may not acknowledge the serious nature of their condition until it's too late. The results of undereating and anorexia, purging, and bulimia are just as dire, also leading to an early grave. So that's sort of my step zero. That's just keeping in mind all these negative things that overeating and obesity can lead me to, and my need for a solution. What my sponsor and I discovered is that these are critical days that can advance my life if I take action and make decisions with alacrity and eagerness. But sometimes I don't always pursue what's in my own best interest with the kind of vigor that produces abundant joy in my life. My relaxed attitude does not necessarily properly reflect the urgency of the hour. And my sponsor told me that if I love someone who doesn't love me back, that's a dysfunctional relationship. But if I love someone who's trying to kill me, that's an abusive relationship. And in much the same way, when I love certain foods or food behaviors that either don't love me back or are trying to kill me, it's definitely time to break up. And so OA has taught me how to do that with reliance on a power greater than myself. It was my own best thinking that got me in the rooms. And so I really do need a power that's greater than me. And to say, even as much as 1,000 times a day if necessary, not my will, but thy will be done, because my will tends to lead me into trouble. I am an emotional overeater, which means I'll eat in order to elicit emotions I want to feel I will also eat in order to diminish or quell feelings I don't want to have. And for me, one of the most dangerous questions I can ask myself at lunchtime is, what do I feel like eating? That doesn't necessarily serve me well. So I've learned to, again, with the encouragement of my sponsor, to identify, define, and follow my values instead of my feelings. And in real time, what that looks like at lunchtime, instead of asking myself, what do I feel like eating today? I would ask myself, is there any value in eating X, Y, or Z? And that has served me well to use my values as my North Star rather than my feelings. I have a little sort of fundamental construct. It goes like this. I don't always feel like following my OA plan, but then again, my feelings don't always give me good information either. Therefore, in order to be the type of abstinent person I want to be, in most instances, I'll need to act in a manner contrary to my own feelings. And my resistance to right action will always come in three forms. Number one, I won't feel like it. That's a given. Number two, I won't believe I can change. And number three, I won't believe you when you tell me I can change. But if I know that my resistance is coming in those forms, I can guard against it and move my life forward in a more positive direction. And so that's been useful for me. Just, I know some people in program are not in touch with their feelings, and feelings are very important to them. They need to get more in touch with their feelings, and I recognize that and honor them. But for me, I tend to rely too heavily on my feelings when it comes to my nutritional choices. So relying on my values and on my higher powers will for me instead is helpful. There are three modes of moving forward. One is walking, one is driving, and one is sailing. And I'm going to share about each of those just briefly with you. For walking, I'm reminded of the tortoise and the hare, and that story that the hare runs around. The rabbit can sprint, but he's inconsistent, and the tortoise keeps moving forward. He may be slow, but he's consistent, and I need to be that way in my OA recovery. People say it works if we work it, and I say, in my case, it only works if I work it enough and consistently enough. So that's walking. For driving, imagine driving from either Los Angeles to New York City or New York City to Los Angeles. Doesn't really matter, whichever way you want to go. But you're on this road trip and you get a flat tire in St. Louis. What are you going to do? Do you have to go and start your trip all over again, or can you just change the flat tire and keep going? This is a reminder for me that in Overeaters Anonymous, I don't need to be perfect in order to be successful. I just need to keep going. So the mark of maturity for me is not determined by how often I might fall off the horse, but rather by how quickly I get back on the horse. So I can just change the tire and keep going. My sponsor gave me permission to be imperfect as a fallible human being. I'm grateful for that. The last example is sailing. Imagine sailing from some port on the West Coast heading towards where I live over here in Honolulu. If you were sailing here, you couldn't just set the tiller heading towards Honolulu and then go to sleep in the hull. You'd have to keep monitoring where you're going because the winds, the waves, obstacles, different things could get in the way or throw you off course. And so on my journey sailing from LA to Honolulu, I would have to make micro adjustments all the time. I'd have to trim the sails. It's no different in my program. I need to make micro adjustments, willing to work and keep going. At tightening up my program, if you will. And my higher power gives me the he'll do for me what I cannot do for myself, but he won't necessarily do for me what I can do for myself. And what I can do is participate in the construction of my own recovery. I'm given a physical body, but unless I go to the gym or work out or do my stretching or balancing, it's not going to be as optimal as it could. I'm given an intellect, but unless I go to school or study or read books, it's not going to be as optimal as it could. And I'm given a recovery in this program, but unless I work at it, it's not going to be as optimal as it could be. So Thank you, John. Where am I at with time? Is that let's see, 4 more minutes, looks
Five
like.
5 minutes.
5 more minutes. Great. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to share a couple of readings that are real important to me in the big book. One is on page 58, to be fearless and thorough from the very start. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Another is from page 75. Is our work solid so far? We ask if we have omitted anything, for we are building an archway through which we will walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? So these two readings really encourage me to be fearless and thorough from the very start and to double check my work to make sure it's solid. From page 275 of the big book, we cannot outgrow this plan. AA is not a plan for recovery that can be finished and done with. It is a way of life, and the challenge contained in its principles is great enough to keep any human being striving for as long as he lives. We do not, cannot outgrow this plan. As arrested alcoholics or compulsive overeaters, we must have a program for living that allows for limitless expansion. Keeping one foot in front of the other is essential for maintaining our arrestment. Others may idle in a retrogressive groove without too much danger, but retrogression can spell death for us. However, this isn't as rough as it sounds, as we do become grateful for the necessity that makes us toe the line, and we find that we are compensated for a consistent effort by the countless dividends we receive. My sponsor told me that being in Overeaters Anonymous abstinently is like babysitting a 2-year-old at a swimming pool. You can do it, but you just better not get some shut eye or read a magazine. You better not flip over and tan your back, because the second you do, that kid's going to slip into the deep end. And so it requires me to be hypervigilant at times, or at least awake, aware, alert, and conscious. And that's really important for my experience. I claim an imperfect abstinence. It's 6:30 here in Honolulu, so I have 18 and a half hours of imperfect abstinence today. At midnight, when I go to bed, I turn into a pumpkin. I become a compulsive overeater all over again. And tomorrow morning, when I wake up, I have to ask myself if I'm still willing to go to any lengths and still willing to do whatever it takes in my fight against my own deadly disease of compulsive overeating. A lot of that has to do with just submitting to God's will. Again, asking that my higher powers will be done and not my own. And finally, I like this reading from pages 162 and 163 on willingness, patience, and labor. Thus we grow, and so can you. Though you be but one person with this book in your hand, we believe and hope it contains all you will need to begin. We know what you are thinking. You are saying to yourself, but I'm jittery and alone. I couldn't do that. But you can. You forget that you have just now tapped a source of power much greater than yourself. To duplicate with such backing what we have accomplished is only a matter of willingness, patience, and labor. And I think about the things that I've been willing to do in my life, the things that I've been patient to do, or the things that I've labored or worked to do. And I think my OA recovery is certainly something worth exercising willingness, patience, and labor to do. Yeah, I appreciate this again, this opportunity to share with you. I think I will end in the last minute of my share with a couple of thoughts. One is from the big book, page 85, that says, we are not cured of compulsive overeating or alcoholism, as it says. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent upon the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day that we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. What a great reminder for me that it's my responsibility to carry a vision of my higher power's will into all of my daily activities, that I can be relieved, hopefully, of the bondage of self. And the last one is concerning AA, but I'll make it for OA. It says here that OA is no success story in the ordinary sense of the word. It is a story of suffering transmuted under grace into spiritual progress. And boy, I'm really glad to be trudging the road of happy destiny with all of you. Thank you for allowing me to share tonight.